At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It's your good friend Patrick O'Dowd, joined as always by his lawyer friend David Ungar, and we are welcoming you in to another edition of Hockey Talk. Hockey Talk is, of course, brought to you as part of the ChairShot Radio Network here on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Already played that at the top of the intro, so I'm not going to play it again. Folks, happy Tuesday. Hope your anxiety over the day that is election day is staying low. Whatever is, is. By the time this podcast drops, of course, it'll be election day. Depending on when you listen to it, your polls may be open, they may be closed. The reality is, when this podcast drops, and probably by the end of the day, Tuesday, we won't even know, because I feel like this is going to be a long, drawn-out counting process. Unless it's a straight up landslide. And we're not going to go into the political weeds here. Everybody knows where I stand on the political spectrum. Dave is copacetic with me. I'm pretty sure. Like Dave, I'm not speaking out of turn, right?
No, I am. But, you know, I'll just throw this out there. You know, there's a part of me that says, man, I almost hope for the sake of our sanity and the country's stability that Trump just wins in a landslide. And then we don't have to worry about it. You know, I mean, it's not what I want, but at the same time, it's like, well, you know what?
Here's the thing. For the sake of life as you know it currently, God, I hope that doesn't happen. He's not going to win in a landslide. And just to be blunt, like, he's not going to win in a landslide because he is a wildly unpopular human. So you are going to see a popular vote that shows that even if he wins, because our system of electing a president is archaic and stupid, he's gonna win. Like, the fact that a state like Pennsylvania or Georgia, like, that we have to, like, as a people, that you have to rely on specific states to decide who's in charge should tell you everything about how broken our system is. And one side of the house is never going to change that, because that side of the house gets the advantage when those quote unquote swing states are always leaning conservative, even though when you ask most people their beliefs with regards to policy and things that should be done, they actually, in a blind poll, will tell you that they actually agree with more liberal policies. Anyway, we are not going to go full politics. We're here to talk about hockey, even sports, because we are sports entertainment. We're not a political podcast by any stretch of the imagination. and it will drive Craig and Tony nuts if we spend the next 30 minutes talking about our politics. But I will say it's more comforting to me right now than talking about sports on some level, because God damn, do I hate sports right now. Everything hurts and I'm dying. Like, it just, everything hurts and I'm dying. You know, when 2 weeks ago, I was floating on air. My beloved University of Illinois had become bowl eligible. They beat Michigan at home. Fans were happy and excited. Then they went to Oregon, got pasted, lost on Saturday to the University of Minnesota Golden Gophers. My Bears lose in just bumfuckery fashion to your Washington Commanders in a game, frankly, Dave.
Bumfuckery. Wow.
Frankly, Dave, it should have never gotten to that point in the first place, because the Bears were not the better. Like, the right team won the game.
Right.
They were not the better team. The right team won the game. It's the how. Like, if the Bears had won, like, you know, and I don't even, here's the thing, is that quarterback that was talking shit, and it's real easy to blame a dude because of just the bad optics and what happened. And, you know, we're going to bench him for, you know, a quarter or a half, and we're going to show him because the game's never over. Like, there's a confluence of things that go wrong in a football game to where it should never have to get to a fortunate tip, because that's all it was. It was a fortunate tip and a blown assignment. Like, that, you know, it's a special teams play that you go through every week. And because you were so busy waving bye-bye to everybody. But, you know, the Bears, I've been talking about this. The Bears won a couple games in a row to beat Carolina and Jacksonville. And you would have thought in Chicago, 85, baby, we're back. Like, what are you talking about? We are a poor football team with a lot of flaws. Like, we are a strong defensive team. We have the offensive line problem of the Chicago Bears, along with the learning curve of a rookie quarterback, should have told you we are a fringe wild card team at best. And we out here acting like we're going to beat the fucking Packers after we beat Jacksonville and Carolina, two of the biggest dumpster fires in all of professional football. But yeah, let's get mad at the cornerback, which is just emblematic of the lack of discipline that this team really has.
You want to get
mad? You know, is it an Eberflus problem? I don't know.
Yes. Yeah, you want to get mad at somebody, get mad at the coach, because that was terrible coaching. It, the Hail Mary is what it is. It's the play before that that's inexcusable.
Yeah, you play 3-7 defense.
Even that. 6 seconds, no timeouts. The only place that Daniels can go is to the sidelines. There's nobody out there guarding McLaurin.
The sideline.
And it got them to the position where he could heave it. You know, and I know if people like 65 yards with a bad rib, he can't do it. Well, apparently he could.
He did it.
Yep.
Yeah. So whatever. And that sucks. And we're gonna get into it here. I don't even want to talk about the Blues right now. The Blues, like, they're not just losing games. And you know, they're down to fifth in their division. They're not just losing games. They're getting fucking just crushed. They're losing games 8-1. So I don't want to talk about that. So I'm mad, Dave. And then the Cardinals, like, you know, fuck it. Let's go baseball. The Cardinals, they get rid of all this payroll. And I know there's more moves to come, but good Lord, the Cardinals love picking up a broke-ass pitcher reclamation project and touting it like they're going to be the next goddamn Cy Young. Like, it's, it tastes of desperation and sadness.
I want to take a moment to congratulate the New York Yankees on a very Washington Capitals-esque collapse. So, good job, guys.
Sure. Oh, yeah. And I'm sure the party's good. Seriously, the Cardinals claim Roddy Munoz off of waivers.
Who?
You know what his year, Roddy Munoz from the Marlins, who posted, so he's only 24, so he's young, so maybe there's some development there. Let's talk about his season, though. 6.53 ERA, 70-42 strikeout to walk ratio over 82 innings in 2024, and he gave up 26 home runs in those 82 innings. We picked up a batting practice pitcher. I hate sports, Dave. I hate it. I hate it. What we are going to talk about today, you know what? we're gonna do our rundown of the conferences. We're gonna talk about the Eastern Conference on the second half of the show because we gotta talk about a moment in time for your Capitals, and I want to give you the back half of the show to discuss it because you know this doesn't come along very often. Winnipeg finally lost a game.
They lost one,
and then they won two in a row.
Yeah,
and then they turned around, won two in a row. So that trade's not stopping. I don't think that trade's stopping. Whether it's a great regular season for the Winnipeg Jets, I think and they're going to take on your Caps soon, right? Or no, they took on
that
Columbus.
That might be a really interesting game all of a sudden.
Actually, let's see what this. Yeah, no, sorry, Nikolaj Ehlers had his fifth career hat trick against the Columbus Blue Jackets. I was looking at the wrong schedule. No, my fault. Let's see what they got. They got Tampa Bay tonight. That should be fun. That's two top teams in their divisions. Actually, this is a great week of hockey for them. Like the next 2 weeks of hockey for them, just listen to this. We're going to really see what Winnipeg's made of. They've got Tampa Bay. They got a little bit of a break because they got Utah. Then they've got Colorado, Dallas, the Rangers in Madison Square Garden, back to Tampa Bay, and then the Florida Panthers. And in fact, to take it even further out, on the 19th, it's a home and home. It's home at Florida on Saturday the 16th, and then Florida travels to them to play in Winnipeg on the 19th. That is a stretch
of tough games. If they only have one loss after that stretch, you might just want to give them the cup.
They're going to lose. Here's what I will say. This is looking at their next eight. Five of those games are on home ice. So they've got this homestand this week, which is the Tampa Bay game today in about an hour and a half from when we're recording this here on the East Coast. Again, puck drops at 3. Then Utah, Colorado, and Dallas all coming to them before they hit the road on a little East Coast swing.
That's a tough stretch.
That's an indicator.
Yeah,
that's what that is. That's an indicator week.
I mean, you know, you're playing a home and home against the defending cup champions who also show no signs of slowing down. So that's going to tell the tale. Let's see what you really are made of. Let's see how good you really are. You got wedging two games with Tampa Bay in there. You got the Rangers in Madison Square Garden. Colorado is still a who knows what team is going to show
Colorado,
up.
Dude, seriously, absolutely. Like, that team either looks like a bunch of fucking gangbusters or they look like they've never skated before.
Yeah.
It's weird.
You guys look like you should be pumping gas in Jersey. I mean, what are you guys doing out
here? Yeah, they're 5-5 in their last 10. They've lost 3 in a row. I think they're pretenders. I don't think they're going to make a run. I don't.
Really? You may be right. I mean, we're getting to the point where you're starting to look and say, well, you can't blame injuries.
I think Nashville is a much more reliable team in terms of just history and who they are. And they're behind them. Like, they're not good. They're 4-6-1 on the season. So it's not like they're really tearing it up. But then again, all you need to do is play the St. Louis Blues and we'll lose to you 8-1. So, you know, it's fine. 8-1. Ottawa, 8-1. I mean, I guess, yay, we beat the Maple Leafs yesterday, but who doesn't beat the Maple Leafs?
Well,
came back from 2 goals down.
That's something to build off of. I mean, you know, Toronto should be a pretty good team. They're a little up and down as well. But, yeah, your guys are very up and down. They're all over the place.
It's just tragic. Like, I'm going back and I'm looking at this. Let's see. We lost in Toronto 5. We lost in Montreal 5-2. I'm just looking at these numbers here in our losses. Gave up 3 goals, gave up 6 goals, gave up 5 goals, gave up 5 goals, gave up 4 goals, gave up 5. Like, their last 4 losses, they lost to Philadelphia 2-1, but you give it 5-5, 8, and then 2. You know, you lose a close one, like, whatever. And then, yay, we scored 4 goals against. And now we go to Tampa Bay. Woo! Guess who we got on Saturday the 9th, though, Dave?
Who's that?
Look who we got. Looks like a little eagle shaped like a W on my schedule on the 9th. You can humiliate me another weekend.
It's over there the 9th, Saturday. It is the Capitals. All right. And it's in St. Louis. So, yeah.
Woot. Congratulations on a stunning road victory in the future. We'll talk about it. Talk about it next week. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sad, Panda. I'm just, dude, I'm really angry today. I'm sorry that I'm grouchy about this. Yeah, Vegas is a place. That's exciting.
You don't have to apologize to me. If I'd endured your week, I'd be grouchy too. So
this is the thing about sports. Sports is one of those great unifying yet heart soul crushing things. Ugh.
Oh, like I have so one of the guys I work with is a Bears fan. We did a bet last year about, you know,
I would have to,
you know, whoever lost would buy the other one lunch. And we just like, I hardly ever get up to Fresno when he's there. So I still owe him that. So he's like, what do we want to bet this year? You want to go double or nothing? I said, nah, I owe you that anyway. I want to do that because, you know, we haven't, you know, hung out enough. But I said, tell you what, whoever like loses, you know, whichever team loses, the other guy has to go to the winner's home golf course because he's up in Tulare, which is like 50 miles from me, and I'm down here. So after Chicago took the lead, I texted him. I said, well, looks like it's going to be Tulare. And then, like, you know, the Hail Mary happens. I said, I can't believe that shit. And he's like, I'm at the lake. What happened? And I'm like, I can't tell you. You'll just have to watch it yourself.
It's really funny. You said that to all your Bears fans.
Did I? No. Well, You texted
me while I was at the Dropkick Murphys concert. Yeah, and I think all you did was holy crap.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. And then I forgot you were at the concert. And then you were like, what happened? I'm at the concert. They said, never mind. I saw it on Twitter. I just left it at that.
Yeah, because it was on the University of Massachusetts campus, I was able to connect to the internet. And this is because their campus Wi-Fi, of course, I have an account there. So I was able to jump on and I was like, when you texted, it was like, okay, something dramatic happened either way, like one way or the other, whichever our teams won the game, it was something dramatic. And, you know, you can't read tone in a text. So like, as I opened it up and I saw all of the Bears misery in my Twitter there, I was like, oh, well, we lost that one. And then, yeah, of course, I watched the video. Okay, Dave, we're going to take a commercial break because when we come back from a commercial break, we're going to talk about the Metropolitan and more specifically, old man Ovi on a heater and your Washington Capitals better than advertised? ? Hear Dave's opinion. When we come back, you are listening to Hockey Talk here on the Chairshot Radio Network, a part of the Chairshot.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
As of the recording of this podcast, welcome back, everybody, to Hockey Talk. Patrick O'Dowd, David Elgar, ProWrestlingTees.com/chairshot for all of your chair shot swag needs. Get it soft style, a few dollars more, but it feels great on your giblets. As of 1:35 p.m. here on November 3rd, 2024, hope everybody remembered to set those clocks back if you're in certain time zones, except for those of you in Arizona. I wish I was you. I wish I was them. I wish I was them. I hate it. Certain parts of Indiana also do not change their clocks, oddly enough. But basically, wherever you are at the time of this recording, the Washington Capitals are your Metropolitan leaders with a record of 8-2. Alex Ovechkin, turning back the clock a little bit, scored 2 goals in a 7-2 victory over the, who did they beat, Columbus?
Yeah.
Over Columbus. Was it two?
He got one. He got two against.
He got one.
He got two against the Rangers.
Carolina. Oh, it was the Rangers. He got two.
He got two against the Rangers. One against Montreal. One against Columbus yesterday. Yes.
But he's hot. He's hot right now.
He is. And
let the old man eat.
He's 39. And I was going to ask you.
Let the old man eat.
My question for you is, at what point do we really start to look at that record and say, this is actually possible? I'm figuring when he gets within 10, then a lot of the focus is going to start shifting towards, hey, this shit might actually happen for real. If he keeps up on this pace, it'll happen this year. Now, I don't know, you know, right. He's got 6 goals in the first 10 games, which is like, well, that's way better than last year.
Yeah, he's on a great pace. And here's how I want to frame this question. What are they doing in Washington currently that is setting him up for success? Is it his play or is it like, I'm assuming he's not expected to carry the load as an offensive playmaker the way that he was when he was younger by any stretch of the imagination. Is it the way teams are playing his line? Like, tell me what you're seeing when you watch, because you watch them obviously more than I do.
I do. And I'll take it one step further. It's not that, you know, he's not carrying it. I mean, everybody else is. He draws some attention, but it's like guys like Connor McMichael, who has been around for quite a while, a young guy who can really skate, has never really, you know, had the scoring touch that he's showing in spades early this year. Alexei Protas is another guy that if you look at the team and you see what they're doing, he's been a big part of this thing. The game against the Rangers was the game, I think, that I really started to come around and think to myself, okay, these guys might be way better than I thought they were, because they jumped all over New York. There was that fight. I sent you that video in that first, I mean, right off the bat, there's a fight with Rempe. I mean, so I forget, McElrath, I think is the guy's name, picked out the biggest dude on the Rangers. This isn't Tom Wilson. You would think Wilson would go after Rempe, right? Wilson's like an afterthought. He's no longer the physical dude on, I mean, he is, but I mean, and that was a hell of a fight, and McElrath got the best of Rempe and left him bloodied. And that set the, like, they came out and they said, yeah, we remember what the hell you did to us in the playoffs. That's not going to happen this game. They set the tone physically. They set the tone offensively. They are, and you got to give Spencer Carberry credit, you know, because he should have been, if I don't remember if he was the Jack Adams winner for Coach of the Year last year, he probably should have. He's got a lot more stuff to work with this year. And I said it, you know, a couple times, and I hate saying it, but yeah, TJ Oshie going down really was a benefit to them because it opened up the door for some other players. The young guys have come along. They're, you remember like last year, these guys and their goal differential was atrocious, and that's what killed them. They're
right.
Plus 15 right now. And
yep.
They are scoring. I mean, every time they go out, they're scoring 5 goals, 6 goals, 7 goals. The blue line's getting better. Their goaltending is okay. It's good. It's not great. I mean, you know, Lindgren and Thompson are several rungs below the elite guys like the Shesterkins and the Ottingers, the Vasilevskis of the world, you know, that sort of thing. But I think that's what's really going on with the Caps right now is they're a much more balanced team. So teams can't focus on Ovi anymore, because if you do, 3 or 4 or 5 other guys are going to burn you. And that's leaving him open for he scored on a slap shot yesterday, right from his spot, a little bit farther out. But yeah, I think if they keep up at this pace and these young guys continue to develop, and you know, McMichael and Protas and Mangiapane and some of these other guys keep scoring like they are, yeah, they are definitely better than advertised, Pat. I'm more surprised than anybody because I just did not see this coming, but they skate in a way that's real free. They're not, and it's weird, they're not faster than these teams that they're playing. They can't match speed with the Devils. They can't match speed with the Rangers, but they play a really smart way of attacking, and it's working for them. You know, I mean, they're not beating chumps, you know, they're beating the Rangers right. of the world and the Vegases of the world. And these other teams that you said, they have no business beating these teams, but they are. And I am as dumbfounded as anybody, my friend, but I'm going to ride it for as long as I can, because it's surprising. And I think a lot of it does have to do with Spencer. He's a really good coach. He knows how to maximize his lines. And I got to tip my hat to them, man.
Right. And if you look at the week that they've got coming up this week, they play, as we're recording this tonight, they have Carolina Hurricanes over there in Carolina. Before they come back home, they host Nashville, who's struggling They're a team that, while I said in the first half of the segment, they're a team I could see making a run, because that seems to be what they do, that make runs late. We're still early in the season, so I wouldn't worry about that too much. We've got, you know, you've got the Pens. The Pens have been this is a good week to continue to put some points, and then of course you get your victory in St. Louis coming up as well. So it's gonna be a big win for you. Jordan Binnington can die.
Well, Carolina game should be, because that's
rivalry. Yeah, I mean, what's really great, you know, when we talk about divisions that are tight early, the Metropolitan Division is the tightest. Followed by the Pacific. And actually, even the Pacific's not tight. Like, Vegas is at 17 points, Los Angeles is at 15, and then you've got like a cavalcade of teams that are just kind of over 500. Los Angeles seems to just get to overtime. But if you look at the top four in the Metropolitan, though, you know, everybody's within 2 points of each other. Washington and Jersey are tied at 16. You get the, you know, your Caps get the advantage because they have played. They haven't gone to overtime yet.
No.
Like, that's, you know, that makes a difference. You know, Jersey has. New York, you know, they're a point behind at 15, and then Carolina. But all four of those teams have 7 or more wins. Like, that's good hockey, no matter where you're playing. Like, so that's a division that's competitive.
I want to shift your
number focus. Of games played, be damned.
I want to shift your focus to the Atlantic and ask you about the Boston Bruins, who are
they're struggling.
They're struggling a little bit. And I think we've mentioned this before a couple times. You know, Boston's one of those teams, I think it's a couple weeks ago or last week, we were saying that they're a team that, you know, you see this happen so every so often, where a team in like ages overnight sort of thing. And we speculated, right, Boston could befall them at some point. And I'm just looking at this thinking 5-6-1, huh? Goal differential,
yeah,
-10 for the Boston Bruins on goal. What is going on there?
They don't score. They don't defend. Brad Marchand is 900 years old. He's not really 900 years old, but I'm trying to do the math on being born in 88.
He's like
35. He's the old man on the team. Actually, when you look at these guys, everybody else is. I actually think it's kind of the opposite problem right now, in that they're, you know, they got a bunch of dudes in their 20s coming up. They're finally starting to move dudes up. And I think that what you're seeing is the growth that should have happened 2 years ago, when the veterans were kind of clogging everything up and they were just old. Like, they're not there now. So now you've got these guys who are learning how to develop out of, you know, they've been in juniors and they're trying to do better, you know, and Cole Koepka can only do so much, right? Like, these guys got to learn. And part of that is, I think this is a growing year for the Bruins. That's, I guess, the best way to describe it. Like, their goaltending's okay, but it's not great. Their defense is okay, but it's not great, and it's learning. Their offense is okay, but, you know, not strong enough to overcome deficits the way they've been in the past. Like, used to be able to really count on a Boston Bruins team never being out of the game, right? Like, they were just never really going to be out of the game. And I still, to this day, when the Blues won this cup, kept waiting for a Boston Bruins comeback, in particularly the second period, where, you know, Jordan Binnington was fighting for his damned life. And it was a scoreless second period. It's a team that's got I think this is a team that I still am kind of bullish on them being better over the course of the season, as these guys, you know, play more together and really sort of grow that experience that they haven't really had as much in the league, you know, at this level than they did, you know, 2-3 years ago. Stuff like that takes time. Now, will Boston be patient enough? I know the fans aren't, because the fans, they're crabby. Well, they want Montgomery.
Yeah, I mean, and you look at their history, and I mean, from that record-setting season and then collapse against Florida, and you know, maybe in right. retrospect, looking, you know, with rose-colored glasses in hindsight is 2020, you look at that, we see this, right, where teams that don't seem like they're on the precipice or the verge of becoming a dynasty breakthrough. like the New England Patriots.
Right.
That Super Bowl in 2001 where they lucked out and beat the St. Louis Rams, but it kicked off a dynasty. And you look at the you look at the Panthers. Yes, they got lucky in that series against Boston, but now you look at where that is. And like the Panthers, right. I think is funny. Like when we've started Hockey Talk this year, people are like, what's wrong with the champions? You know, what's wrong with the Panthers? Not a damn thing. If you look at them,
nothing was wrong with
there's it. Nothing wrong yeah. with these guys. They look like they're going to be on the hunt for a repeat, but like, in like, was Boston just on the, was this just like their last gasp? They did it all. They laid it all out there and then they got exposed and yeah, right. they, but I mean, you know, you look at them, they can't beat Florida. And they can't really compete with Florida this year, the couple times that they've played. So, I mean, and you're looking at them right now, it's like, wow, geez, they're way down in the standings. Ottawa's ahead of them. Detroit's ahead of them. I mean, there's something to be concerned about in Boston.
There is something to be concerned about in Boston. And like I said, this, I don't think we'll see a coaching change. Like, I don't want to put that out there and everybody be like, oh, Patrick O'Dowd. Like, it is just one of those things where... You can tell, like, it's just, Boston's not used to being in this position. Like, it's just not what they do. So,
yeah, I think
who knows? I think that
when we get closer to, like, I don't know, like the All-Star break, right. probably then if Boston's still middling around,
I think I've seen Boston over the years long enough to know they're the type of team that's going to get it together and make a run. And I think they're going to climb the stand. I still think they're going to, they're young, but I still think they're a playoff hockey team. I still think that they'll leave the Red Wings. I don't have faith in Ottawa. Like, do you have faith in Ottawa?
No.
What has Ottawa shown you? Right? Like
some sporadic flashes of stuff here and there, but nothing.
Right.
I mean, the game against the St. Louis was an aberration. More or less, I don't know.
The Blues suck. Blues suck.
I think I'd like, here's something fun. You know, we're talking about coaching changes. Who is your odds-on favorite, like the first coach to drop? You know, who's gonna get wiped out first? I mean, I got an idea. I think I know who I'm looking at thinking, yeah, you're probably not long for this whole thing.
So who's got the hottest hot seat? That's what you want me to
I'll tell
to
you
answer.
Okay,
go ahead.
I think Lindy Ruffin first, because the Sabres weren't supposed to break out of the drought this year.
They're horribly underperforming.
And they are way underperforming, and Lindy is he's been there before. You know, if Tortorella wasn't so beloved in Philadelphia, I'd say to watch him. But the Flyers have actually shown some signs of life, so maybe not.
Right. I keep wondering about Chicago. Not that it matters, but here's why I go back, because they're not good. They're not good, but they're young, right? And so does Luke Richardson get the time to develop their draft picks? Are they angling for another draft pick, you know, on top of Bedard? Like, doesn't make sense. But you're 4-7-1 and you are, it's really not close.
I mean, yeah, I think Chicago and Bedard, Chicago, you should watch.
Right.
I'm wondering about
nothing like a hot seat 3 weeks into the season.
Yeah.
Right?
But I mean, this is hockey and we know from experience, they like to do these changes. But
usually that first firing comes like 2 months into the season, maybe a month and a half.
Yeah. I also think, you know, watching the other coach I'd watch is Warsawski in San Jose. Cause yeah, the Sharks are bad, but to show like really, they're not showing any progress from last year's disgraceful season. And at some point you got to say, hey, okay, we understand what's going on, but at the same time, we got to do something about this. So yeah, I think that's a ways down the line, but keep an eye on that sort of thing. I tell you, the trade deadline this year is going to be, I mean, we're way far away from that, but there's already rumblings about people on the move, you know, and a lot of teams may not wait for the trade deadline to make, like if the Caps are actually like seriously going to make a threat, then yeah, making that move for Trevor Zegras, which has been rumored for like a year now. Okay. You know, you add him to that team and now you're talking. So we'll see.
Right. We will see indeed. And it's just what we do. So, all right, Dave, we're up against it as we always are. Those folks who listen to us certainly know we immediately record another podcast after we record this one. So thank you everyone for listening. Before we get out of here, Dave, tell everybody where they can find you on the Chair Shot Radio Network and on the socials.
Yeah, you can find me on the socials at X, at Attitude Ag, that is at Attitude AGG, Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression, and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads. Keep your eyes out for the latest edition of the Big Five Project, where we give all the love to Owen Hart and his magnificent acting skills at Survivor Series 94. Chef's kiss.
Very nice, very nice. Well, and you can follow me on the X Twitter at Wrestling Realist. That is at WRESTLNGREALIST. I am on every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Mondays talking nerdy stuff with Dave. Tuesdays, obviously, you're with us talking hockey. Wednesdays talking wrestling with Greg DeMarco when Greg DeMarco and I make it to the recording booth.
Did you make it this week?
That's going to do it for. We record on Tuesdays.
Oh,
actually, jury's still out. We did not make it last week. The Greg DeMarco had responsibilities that he needed to be managing, and pretty soon, like, I'm going to be out there. Like that's coming.
Yeah,
that's a very exciting. So yeah, that show is coming up. So yeah, listen, check out IZW if you're in the Phoenix area. Dolph Ziggler, sorry, not Dolph Ziggler, Nick Nemeth, appearing as part of the card, also doing a meet and greet and a signing with, I can't remember the name of the trading card company that is having him, but they are one of the sponsors of IZW as well. I'm very excited to go. It's going to be fun. And it's still wrapping my brain that my flight leaves in just over 2 weeks. So really coming up. I gotta really think about that. So anyway, none of you care about that. You guys care about hockey. Thank you everyone for listening. I hope you enjoyed this week's edition of Hockey Talk. Hopefully next week, I'm in a better mood just to want to talk about sports, because I'm tired of being mad at sports. I'm just tired of being mad at sports. And so I want to get past that. So again, thank you everyone for listening. This has been Hockey Talk here on the Chairshot Radio Network, a part of the Chairshot.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.